Our Old Covenant reading this evening is from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. This is the word of our God. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my way is made steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I remember your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Here ends our Old Covenant reading. Our New Covenant reading is from 1 Timothy 3. We'll be reading verses 8 through 13. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own household well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. God loves his church. And this love is made abundantly clear to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know John 3:16 by heart, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What did the love of God look like for us? Well, it looked like Christ dying for our sins to reconcile us to God. But you know, there's another aspect to the work of Christ that sometimes we take it for granted, and that is that God loving us in Jesus Christ also looked like Christ coming and taking on himself the form of a servant. Matthew 20, verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In this love of God for his church, it is this service of Christ for his people that is the foundation for the love and service to which the deacons of the church are called. God gives deacons to his church to minister to the needs of the church, to love the church. And so we see in our deacons God's fatherly care for his people. But we also see that God gives deacons to the church as examples of how we are to love one another, and thus how we are to fulfill the law. So deacons are, first of all, a picture of God's love. They are also an example that we are to follow as we are to love one another. Christ came to us as one who serves. He came as a deacon. It's actually the same word. And so those who are called to the office of deacon are called to be servants of Christ and following Christ's example. Deacons are called to show Christ's likeness by their service to the church. And in this way, deacons are those who provide for the church an example of the gospel. Those of you who serve as deacons or have served as deacons in the past, you have been given the task of exemplifying the gospel to the church and to the world. And to the rest of us, we are called to see in our deacons God's love for the church, and we are called to follow the example and the pattern of this love in our lives and in the church. So this evening, I want to break our text down over four fairly brief points. But as we look at each point together, I want us to notice two basic themes: God's love for the church and the pattern of love which we are to follow as it is exemplified to us in the life and work of deacons. The first thing that we see here is that deacons must be qualified. They must be qualified. Look at verse 8 with me again. Deacons must be We are all created in the image of God, and there is a certain dignity that comes with that. And even though that image was broken by the fall, it is the gospel that restores the image of God in us. This is what Christ came to do. He takes us out of our sin and misery, and he restores to us the dignity that comes with being the people of God. And so as those who are created in the image of God, we are treated by God with the dignity that comes with being Christ.
Now, when Paul talks about the mystery that was once in it, what he's talking about is he's talking
about the mystery that was hidden under the old covenant that has now been revealed in Jesus Christ. God's plan and promise of salvation that was revealed only in types and shadows is now made perfectly plain. And so the mystery of faith then is the gospel that as it has been revealed and made known to us in Christ, in the pages of Scripture. Deacons must be those who hold this truth of the Christian faith. Deacons are not called to teach like elders, but they must know and hold to the truth of the gospel so that they might properly live out the gospel through their service. Because right at the heart of the gospel is service. Christ came to serve. And so as you hold the mystery of the faith, you are called to hold it in such a way that you can live it out before the watching God. Deacons must have right doctrine and right confession. They must also have right living. Now, Paul goes on to say that deacons are to be tested to ensure that their doctrine and living are aligned with the gospel. And so the church is to evaluate them for this office. Now, this is actually something important for us to be reminded of. Because as the people of God, we are called to pay attention to the lives of men in the church who show promise or inclination for the office of deacon. And you are to think about this even now, as even though we are elected deacons at this time. Think about this now. Do their professions and their lives line up with the gospel? Do they know the gospel and live out the gospel? You need to know about their lives and their faith and their character in order to determine if they are qualified. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ transforms our lives. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe the truth of the gospel, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we live out the truth of the gospel. And right, the gospel isn't about making us better versions of ourselves. It's about transforming us into the image of God. And so the gospel transforms our hearts and our minds and our actions. The love of God for us is displayed in our justification. It's also in our sanctification. God declares us righteous in Jesus Christ, and He has made us righteous in Jesus Christ. And the work of the deacons, what they are called to do is to be an example of this gospel transformation. As deacons, you are called to bear witness to the love of God for His people by living out the new life that is yours in Jesus Christ, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. We live out the gospel by our love, because love is the fulfilling of the law. And so deacons are called to care and to love for God's people. And this plays an important part in the life of the church. It shows to the church and the world what gospel living looks like. It displays this gospel living as you gently and graciously minister to the needs of the church. You display gospel living as you put the worship of God first and show up every Sunday to help set up and break down and do whatever else needs to be done. And people of God, as our deacons show to us what it means to live out the gospel in holiness, to live out the gospel in service to God and in service to God's people, we are called to follow their examples. We are called as well to be those who hold the mystery of our faith with a clear conscience. We are called to prove ourselves blameless as we love God and love neighbor, as the gospel transforms not just our thoughts, but also our actions. Think about what this will do in our communities. Now, I think sometimes there's a temptation when we see people who are not believers and whose lives are not in any way competing with the gospel. There's a tendency for us to sort of pull away and circle the wagons. But how can we share with them the gospel? Like, we tell them that we believe the gospel, but if we pull away with our lives, we'll never see the gospel being lived out. And so we are called, as Christians, to speak the truth, but to speak the truth in love. Living out the truth in love. The deacon must be qualified. The deacon must live out the gospel. Third, the deacon must lead by his example. He must lead by his example. We're looking again at verses 11 and 12. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, not sober, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own household as well. Now, the ESV sort of glosses over some of the difficulty that's here in verse 11. You might notice, if you have an ESV or even another translation, you might notice a little note after the word wives. My ESV said, notes that the word wives can be translated wives or women, and that's correct. It can actually go either way. The word that Paul uses here has sort of that flexibility in meaning. Now, because of this, there are at least three ways that this verse has been interpreted. The first way is that some interpret this to be talking about women deacons. Women who actually hold and are ordained to the office of deacon. Now, I don't think this interpretation is correct, since Paul is specifically addressing the deacons as the men of the church who are called to this office. You see that even in verse 13. He specifically, verse 12, let the deacons be the husband of one wife. So he never addresses the women as deacons, he addresses the men as deacons separately. He also doing this in calling one group the women or the wives, the other group the deacons, he's distinguishing between the two. So they're actually two separate groups of people, just like the elders are a separate group of the deacons. The women now here that are being represented are a separate group as well. So I don't think this works to interpret it as women being ordained to the office of deacon. The office of deacon belongs to the men of the church, just like the office of elder. Now, a second interpretation is to see these women as those women who serve in the church alongside the deacons. They don't hold any office, they're not ordained, but they serve as helpers to the deacons and ministering to the needs of the saints. This interpretation makes sense on a practical level, because there might be some things that a lady in the church could do that a male deacon would not be able to do, or might be hindered from doing. There might be, some of you ladies might be able to provide, say, for a friend in childcare at a certain time. Someone just says, hey, I'm just really exhausted, or I have a doctor's appointment, I have a childcare, could you watch my kid? That is something that a woman in the church might be able to help with, depending on their situation. And so, it makes sense that there could have been women helpers who would serve alongside but not be ordained to the office. A third approach is to see this as some legal wives or deacons. I tend to lean in this direction. I think it makes good sense that the wives of the deacons would naturally assist their husbands in some of the work serving the needs of the church. I lean that way, but it's actually difficult to determine between the second and third option, between women who are serving alongside deacons and the wives of deacons. It's a little difficult to say which one is correct. It really could go either way. So I wouldn't draw a hard and fast line between the two, but I do tend to lean one way. Either way, these women are to be godly and dignified, even as the deacons are called to be godly and dignified. The commentator George Martin puts it this way. Now, he takes the interpretation that this is the wives, so he seems to come out of his quote. He says this: the wives of deacons must be as committed and serious as their husbands, as in control of tongues and attitudes, as self-controlled and faithful, for them to be responsible laborers with their husbands. I think part of what this is implying is that the deacons must set good examples for their wives or for other members of the church who are helping serve alongside them. And it also makes sense that deacons must lead their wives in godliness. They must be faithful in their homes. They must be faithful in their marriages. They must be a one-woman man. They must be faithful in leading their children in godliness. And so deacons are called to lead in godliness by their examples. Now, ladies, some of you here are wives of deacons. Whether you are the wife of the deacon or whether you serve as a minister in some other capacity in the church, you are called to follow this example of godliness. And notice how this fact that God has provided for his church in this way shows the love of God for his church. God gives to his church deacons out of love, but he hasn't left the deacons to minister alone. He has also gives to the church faithful women and other faithful men who serve and minister to the church alongside the deacons. And so by participating in the ministry of the church, by helping the deacons in even the smallest acts of service, you spiritual reward. Look at the end of verse 13. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Now there is an encouragement here for those who seek the office of deacon, just as there was an encouragement for men seeking the office of overseer or elder. The service of the deacons often goes unnoticed. It plays out very often behind the scenes. But this service does not go unnoticed by God. By their faithful service, deacons gain a good standing, that is, a good standing before God and before the church. This is an honorable office. The Lord honors those who serve Him by service to His people. And there is spiritual gain that comes from this as well. As deacons serve the Church of Christ well, they grow in progress and in confidence in their Christian faith. Paul says that they gain great confidence in the faith that is in Christ. And this in turn leads them to continue to serve Christ well. The Lord rewards those who serve Him and who serve His church. And we have to seek after that reward. This is the true motivation to love and to good works. We are not looking to what we can get out of this life for ourselves. Because if we did that, right, if we were only looking to what we would get, we would most certainly pass up small opportunities to serve the Lord. We would only be looking for those opportunities that made us feel great, that gave us the reward that we desire. But if we look for our reward from the Lord, we are motivated to serve Him no matter how small or how thankless the work may be. And deacons are called to set the example of this kind of service. Service that looks for a reward from the Lord. So the heart of the gospel is that Christ came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And as deacons serve the church with dignity, as they live out the gospel, as they lead by example, as they live for eternal reward, they are a model of what it means to believe the gospel and what it means to live out the gospel. Deacons, you have been given the task of showing Christ's likeness to the church and to the watching world. And so, for the rest of us, let us follow the example of our deacons who are following the example of Christ. Let us serve and minister for the sake of God's glory and for the sake of God's glory.